Cheese head. Cheese head.
They got spit roasted by New York.
They got spit roasted, but it's happening in New York, baby. Well, I've got something in there.
Spreading the pins. Da, 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 da. Aaron Rodgers getting fucked. Da, 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 da. He's getting fucked up. The
they
ass
lost for the
by both New Yorks.
Week 6 is in the bag, baby, and how shocking were some of these scorelines? Kyler clearly needs to spend less time pawning noobs on Call of Duty and more time reviewing Gamefield. Tom Brady's marital issues have clearly bled into the Tampa Bay locker room as they couldn't hold off the potent and dangerous combination that is Kenneth Shane Pickett and Mitchell David Trubisky. And New York football has been put back on the map with the Jets and the Giants both notching big wins against high-caliber teams. And oh my God, I am still hungover from that shit. I am still hungover from that win. But of course, as always, the crew is here. Matt, Mitch, and Evan. Boys, I gotta say it. Can I get a J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets?
I refuse.
Oh, fuck you all.
I'll,
anyway.
I'll get a few bars of New York, New York, though. Wow. I don't know if how long the Yankee season will continue, but Jets and Giants football back on the map in the Big Apple.
It's so good. It's been so long. I mean, both teams have been irrelevant for such a long time. Yeah, like you said, 10 years. I mean, the last time that we were both relevant at the same time would have been back in maybe like 2009, maybe 2010. So the last 2 years that the Jets made the playoffs, around that time there was a Super Bowl win for the Giants. And nothing since, you know? So I can't help but be fired up.
You're talking like you're going to make the playoffs or something.
Ooh. I would say
you're calling it quite early.
I'm going to call it. I'm going to totally homer this one. Home run!
Well, yeah, the Giants will.
It's going
to happen. Well,
both East divisions, the AFC East and the NFC East, are the only divisions with winning records combined.
Well, I look at it this way. We've got Denver next week, and Denver's a very winnable game. After Denver, I would hope so. After
they
what we
scored
did to
one touchdown
Green Bay,
today.
They did. They did more than I predicted.
Let's give them some credit.
Yeah.
They scored
8
touchdowns,
was it?
Woo-hoo! Yeah, much more than I predicted. And then, after that, we've got the Patriots. And so, you know, I think that'll actually
game
be
for
a
both teams.
I think it's going to be a really
win
good
next
team
week too. Patriots, Bears, and Broncos v Jets.
I think so. Yeah. And so, if we can win the next two games, we've then got the Bills. And, you know, the Bills is going to be a test, like whether or not we can. It probably is a loss, but you know what? It's a good testing ground. Like, if we can at least look semi-competent against the Bills, then I think we're a playoff lock.
You go 6-2 into the Bills. That's huge.
Yeah, it's enormous because, I mean, that could be setting up the top of the division. I mean, when's the last time we said that the Jets were in the conversation for the top of the AFC East?
2010.
Big hello to Rex Ryan.
Well, not even then.
There.
We were still a
pretty
few
Buffalo
games back. And 2009, we backed ourselves in the last game of the year, you know, 9-7. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Well, they have won the division once. Is it, that's right, in what?
In a long time.
Is it once? Or, no, I know the Patriots didn't win the Matt Cassel year, the Miami
one.
Miami
Dolphins won
that
year.
Yeah.
Dolphins won it that year.
Yeah, but the Patriots have won in the Brady Belichick year. I think they won every year except two.
Yeah.
One would be 0-2,
and
the other
and
would
that
be
was
the Brady ACL
year. The Jets.
Yeah. So the 0-2, Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards may be the last division-winning Jets coach.
Oh my God. Until Mr. Receipts gets back into it. But we're going to talk about that later. Guys, anything else completely stand out for you this week before we get into our four downs?
Mariota,
hey?
Yeah, it's a massive standout. Made, who the hell saw that one coming? And yeah, look, to be fair, San Fran had half a defense, but the numbers Mariota himself put up, but they were just Atlanta Falcons were just excellent, both sides of the ball, just completely shut them out. That was super surprising to me. Does anyone have like the odds prior to that game, like what they were paying to win?
They would have been like nearly $4 money line.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't give them too much credit, to be fair, though, because again, San Fran severely depleted.
They've led the whole way. It's hard to bag it. I mean, yeah, they're big outsiders and they won easily. They led the whole way. Never looked like losing. Man, the old quarterbacks in the NFC. Wow, what a week.
Yeah.
For Father Time. Matt Stafford. I think he is more gone than Rodgers and Brady.
You reckon?
Yeah. Oh, wow. He looks terrible. But I don't know if he's injured still with the elbow, but the Rams, it couldn't have been much uglier, their win. Packers, obviously an awful 7-day period. And Tampa, wow, losing to Pittsburgh.
I mean, ouch. Well, what did I say? It's Kenneth. I have to go back to my notes because like Kenneth Stewart? Shane Pickett,
Shane yeah.
Mitchell, David Trubisky. What a combo! What a quality combo!
Trubisky was huge. Late, I two know. Big third down. One with the legs. One with the pass to the right. So the left hash is there. Like, yeah, he's under Tampa in massive trouble.
Yeah, I feel for them. You got to wonder what's going on there. Is it just that? I mean, it's not just Tom Brady. Clearly, is it the fact that maybe Todd Bowles doesn't have his finger on the pulse in the same way? That the last coach did.
Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce Arians. Maybe. You know, are the players on the team responding to him?
They were just old and...
They looked old.
Yeah.
They did look so old.
I mean, in the pandemic year when they won, it helps having a coach on the field at quarterback.
Yeah.
They were pretty good last year. It's early. Things
well, from the Super Bowl, they haven't really lost many players. Majority of them re-signed the following year.
Yeah, but they are just old, man, I think. And they're fortunately in a very soft division this year, it looks like, but... Yeah, I reckon across the board, all the older quarterbacks playing too safe.
Mm.
Rodgers, Brady, Stafford, just low scoring, not moving the ball, not risking intercepts.
Yeah, yeah. Very true, very true. Well, on that note, let's get into our first segment. We're going to get into our four downs. Who wants to kick us off this week, fellas?
We all know who kicks it off. It's Evan.
Well, self-nominated.
Exactly. Yes. I'll start us off. First off, I got to congratulate the Philadelphia Eagles.
Very humble of you, Dan.
Very humble.
Well, that's only because he predicted that they'd win. Well, you did say last week
you were hedging your bets.
I was hedging, but also 2 weeks ago, earlier on my first take, I said they're the most overrated 4-0 team. And I said if they get through the Cards and Dallas, then maybe. But yeah, we'll talk more about them later. But another team I believe that should be 6-0 is Baltimore. Ooh. The reason I say this is their three losses, and I'm looking at it now, are three massive blown leads. They blew a 21-point lead to Miami in the last quarter. They blew a 17-point lead to the Bills. And they blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter against the Giants. So,
what do you put that down to, you reckon? Is that just poor coaching to blow those double-digit leads?
The Miami game, I reckon, was a poor decisions from the coach on fourth down and also risking it with Lamar a bit too much. The Buffalo game, Josh Allen just bore down the second half. And just the New York game, I feel like... It was the fumble. There was many things. I could also the Giants inception. Towards the end. Yeah.
The play at the end where he fumbled, ran backwards, ran right, and then just threw a pick
blind
across his body straight onto the chest of a cornerback was just awful. Nearly the worst play of the whole season.
Yeah. I think the problem with Baltimore right now is that Lamar doesn't have anyone to save him. Like, okay, he's got Mark Andrews, but what I mean is like, remember the games with Hollywood Brown, right? So Mark Andrews is obviously, I reckon, top two, top three tight end of the league. Like, there's no doubt about that. But, you see teams are starting to double cover him, and he's still playing out of that double coverage really well. But the thing is, Lamar doesn't have anyone to rescue him like he did when he had Hollywood Brown. Who, by the way, is not having a great season over there in Arizona.
Well, he's injured apparently for the year.
We will get to that.
Apparently, he's done his ankle for the year.
Now he
has. That's why they
traded. Now he has, but he wasn't having that great of a season before then. Now they traded for Robbie Anderson, who looks like a
sixth and seventh round pick.
Who looks like a cross between Tekashi 6'9" and Morty from Rick and Morty. Like, that guy just looks. He's got one hell of a head, man, and that head too is just crazy.
Robbie Anderson getting sent off by his coach. Strange stuff. Interim coach. They're making a stand.
Well, what does that tell you about the discipline on the side? Maybe that was part of the problem, is that Matt Rhule was letting players just get away with things. Matt Rhule didn't rule enough, apparently. Because to see Steve Wilks just stand up and be like, I'm not going to take some of this bullshit that you guys are throwing around, I think it was great to see, and hopefully he can do something in Carolina to turn the ship around. Clearly, Matt Rhule did not rule well as we think.
Yeah, I know what Steve Wilks should do, but it's very hard when you have him because what did he do? He was one and done in Arizona.
Yeah.
You've got Baker, you've got Sam Darnold. To me, bottoming out's the right thing to do.
Oh, definitely. But is he going to be in that seat next year anyway? He'll interview for the job. Yeah. I mean, the nature of the NFL, I hate to say it, is that he's a minority coach, so, he will get the interview because they'll need to fulfill that requirement, the Rooney Rule, which, It is what it is, but you know,
tough situation. But like, he's the worst. He's a coach of a team with close. Oh, they did have the league's worst record when they tanked for Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
who sucks. We'll get to that in a second. But
yeah,
now he has one of the worst coaching situations in the league.
Yeah, yeah. I actually never believed he should have been fired in Arizona. I mean, Josh Rosen was. I mean, clearly not.
Where is Josh Rosen?
Yeah,
nowhere. He just recently got cut from another practice squad. So, you know.
Oh, wow. Did he? I've lost track of Josh Rosen. It's hard to remember him.
CFL star.
Yeah.
Is the XFL still a thing?
Is the XFL?
It is, yeah, yeah.
Isn't it? What about the.
Bankrupt three times. It's a fact. Classic. Yeah.
What about the fan controlled football league? Has anyone seen that?
No.
Oh, do your research, kiddies. Do your research. The Fan Control Football League is Bob Menery owns one of the teams. If anyone knows who Bob Menery is, the comedian. But it's really interesting because the fans can control they like vote for plays on an app and like on the internet.
Four verticals.
It's awfully socialist. It's a little thing, but you know, Johnny Manziel is in the Fan Control Football League.
Johnny Football.
And he led their team to their version of the Super Bowl, you know, being coached by. I was going to say millions of fans. The reality, probably dozens of fans. Pretty cool playing in little arenas. Anyway, Mitch, do you want to go next? Because it sounds like you're chomping at the heels to get into Kyler Murray.
Wow.
Mr. No Film.
Like, seriously, like where he's at the moment is astonishing. Last year, were they 11-0, was it? And then petering out, getting absolutely slaughtered in the most embarrassing playoff performance you can remember. This year, on the weekend, they put up zero offensive touchdowns against a Seattle team that conceded 45 points to the Detroit Lions, who've won one game. The week before, Seattle got 39 put on them, essentially by Taysom Hill individually. The Cardinals this year have played... Other than beating Carolina, who might be the worst team in the NFL, they played 15 minutes of football against the Raiders, and they were okay in parts against the Eagles. They've been hammered in every other game. This contract that they have, this is agony. And, yeah, Hollywood Brown out, no D-Hop.
D-Hop is back this week.
Who's going to play? Like,
hopefully he revitalizes Kyler. Or else he's getting cut from fantasy.
Well, I mean, they've got massive, massive problems. Like, they lose to New Orleans. Like, their season's over.
Yeah. Yeah, I would totally agree.
Like, his quarterback statistics are astonishing. Like, his quarterback rating for the year is, you know, we've seen, like, obviously quarterbacks like Geno Smith having essentially breakout seasons, you know, his first year starting in, 6 years. But Kyler Murray is being paid not quite in the Mahomes and Allen bracket per year, but he's obviously, by virtue of the contract, on similar to Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. Like, he's thrown this year for his quarterback rating is 20... Or is it in the 20s in the league? Like, it's just disgraceful.
Oh, in terms of rank.
25th. So his quarterback rating's 81.8.
Holy shit.
Davis Mills is 80.6. Mitch Trubisky, 80.1.
Wow.
Cooper Rush, 80.1. Like, backup. Jacoby Brissett, 79. Backup. Joe Flacco, 78. Backup. And then, you know...
That's the company he keeps.
Yeah, you've got it down. He's 24th in quarterback rating. He's thrown 6 touchdown passes in the entire season. 4 picks.
How many has he rushed for?
0.
He hasn't rushed for a touchdown.
Oh, he rushed for that 2-point conversion that tied it up against...
His stats are really surprising. Didn't think he was this awful.
Wow. Yeah, like fantasy. 6-4, he's being paid as if he's a top 5 player in the league.
I know. This is like, does anyone remember Albert Haynesworth?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, the lineman at
got paid $100 million from the Redskins.
Got paid $100 million after playing really well at Tennessee. It was his second contract. And man, he was cut within like a year and a half.
Remember the Mike Vick play? He just started lying down. He didn't want to get up.
Yeah, he didn't want to get up. Like, this is it's kinda It's kind of getting that bad. I mean, we've seen players take big contracts and just sort of bottom out after the money gets to him. But in Kyler's case, he demanded the huge contract. There's a big kerfuffle about him, you know, needing to watch film in the contract. They removed that clause. He's played this team. I think he's totally played this team. And now look at what's happening this season. He's getting paid an awful lot amount of money to not do a whole fucking lot.
It's nearly $50 million a year.
Oh, man.
You said he's not quite in the stratosphere of Mahomes. He's the second highest paid quarterback, apparently, on an annual basis.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
$230 million, of which $160 million guaranteed. That is a huge
first
liability.
First 4 years, you know, greatest of all time esque over a 4 year sample.
And then he gets
four AFC championship games hosted in a row. Kyler Murray's played one playoff game, got eviscerated. His team's currently 2-4 and getting whacked by teams that were expected to win four games all year.
So whose fault is it then? Is it the fault of Kyler Murray or really bad GMing, really bad coaching?
GMing for sure. GM. Like, they can't get the talent around him in a hard cap league as much. Like, and
that's for
why?
Sure.
Why I don't? If he had another season like last year, the very end aside, and they won 12 games, fair enough, pay him then. But why wouldn't you just wait?
Do you think it's a similar situation in Denver where they're obviously not catering around Russell Wilson, the system? He's trying to fit into the system, and again, going forward, it's much easier to sack a coach than it is to have $160 million of guarantees paid out, right? From a financial perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think like Kingsbury's obviously done more, and there's a few different differences. Like Kingsbury's done more in the NFL than Hackett. Like Wilson's got a proven scrapbook, albeit at a different franchise with a different coach. Like Wilson has earned the contract that he's got based off what he's previously done. You shouldn't pay contracts off that, but you can't pay them off showing as little as what Kyler Murray's shown in the league. Like he played good for 3 months last year. The team are just bad run.
Yep.
Kingsbury might not be any good, but hey, he did coach Mahomes in college.
Yep.
For 12 games. And that's how bad he is. He went 6-6 with Mahomes. But
yeah, true.
And Kyler Murray, like you can see it's all there. Like he's got a great deep ball throw in terms of his talent.
He's got the instincts.
He's athletically amazing, but I don't know. All the questions, like, does he like football?
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, there are so many memes about him being so good at playing, like, Call of Duty, but so bad at playing football at the moment. I mean, apparently he's spending a ton of time just playing a lot of Call of Duty right now. I mean, I know it sounds so stupid that we're talking about COD.
I saw something similar. It's like every time Call of Duty has double XP a week, he's 0-16. It's something crazy. I swear he hasn't won a game where Call of Duty has a weekend of double XP.
Maybe this is why they had the homework education clause in the contract to keep him away from COD.
But this is what I mean. Like, it was there for a reason, and then everyone made it out to be. Like, look, I'm sorry. Just because you tell a quarterback that they need to spend more time educating themselves on the game, I understand that, you know, he's an African-American quarterback. That, in my opinion, has nothing to do with the clause. And everyone was like, well, they're calling him out because he's African-American. It's a racist clause. Telling him to do homework is not a racist clause, and now you can see why.
What
That's
about
my
what
opinion.
He gets paid, man. Like, if exactly. he got paid what Geno Smith gets paid, who gives a shit?
Correct.
He's on $50 million a year. Like, he's supposed to be, by salary, the second best person at his job in the entire fucking world.
Exactly. And look at the amount of effort and attention he's putting into it. And you can see it
and
in his game.
And he couldn't strap Andy Dalton's fucking jock.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
I agree.
Man just wants to kill zombies. Leave him alone.
That's fine, but do it on someone else's $160 million worth of guaranteed money. I'm sure if he wanted to play esports, he could probably get that contract. So give up your guaranteed money, fuck off out of football, and go play Call of Duty if you want to play Call of Duty. You're still going to get laid.
Is he, though?
Yeah, he's Kyler Murray. He's got the name already in the profile.
Like, Arizona just
he's
got
5'8".
All across the board, like front office, coach, quarterback.
Yeah, it's
they
bad.
Got injuries. They're in a division where the Rams find ways to win, even though they look awful at the moment. The Niners have got an elite list. Like, they're just in massive trouble. And Seattle are performing way above expectations, and they just handed Arizona's ass to them yesterday. Never looked like losing.
Yeah, so true. All right, let's move it on. Matt, you got your down, buddy?
I have my down, yeah. Mitch, you've described the NFL as the greatest soap opera on TV, something to that effect.
Genuine reality
show. The men's version of the Kardashians, whatever you want to call it. I would say the drama that happens at an ownership level is more like a weird fucked up blend of Better Call Saul and Game of Thrones.
We're talking about beautiful. Dan Snyder here.
I'm talking about Dan fucking Snyder.
Dan the man Snyder.
Absolutely.
Throwing shade on my own.
Absolute explosive revelations this last week. I mean, just incredible. Obviously, this has been going on for quite some time. And, you know, for those who don't know, he has quite the rap sheet. We could spend 2.5 episodes talking about it. But long and short of it, he's had...
He loves spending money.
He loves spending money, but he's had Congress investigate him, the DEA, 2 investigations sanctioned by the League Office.
That's bad.
One of which done by former U.S. attorney Mary Jo White. Obviously, had the whole refusal to change the team name. Bungled the new stadium proposal, which was an absolute lock at one point in time with Virginia. But it's basically Virginia, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. just fighting over who gets the stadium. And that is now no longer the case because he is just a fucking asshole, this bloke. He's widely hated among all owners.
He's a real weird cunt.
He's a what?
He's a real weird cunt.
He looks weird.
Yeah.
He's a strange-looking bloke.
Yeah.
As money. You said, mate, ever Jerry Jones will not comment on him after Jerry Jones, like, vouched for him.
They've been best friends for, like, the last 20. When did he take over Washington? Would have been around
1998.
Yeah, around the time.
Purchase of $800 million.
Yeah. Same time Jerry Jones took over around the 90s. Oh, Jerry Jones took over in the 90s, but Jerry Jones was already in the league, so they would have been best friends since he's taken over in the division.
He was the youngest owner to ever purchase a football team, 34 years old. Years later, he got in this huge, like, kerfuffle with, like, Arizona, who were a lock to get the Super Bowl for that year or the following year. And just was just throwing shade all over the owners that were twice his age. Just has been a right royal cunt from day one. And not to mention all these sexual misconduct claims against himself personally within Washington, within the workplace. Anyway, long and short of it, he's a dickhead. And
Eloquently put.
The revelation this week is that he is backed into a corner and has apparently hired private investigators through his law firms to get dirt on NFL owners, league executives, and the big cheese Roger Goodell himself.
Watch out, Kraft marrying a 40-year-old over the weekend.
Who else are you going to marry?
Do you know what? You know,
80 but, and rich.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So what do you guys reckon? Is he just absolutely just talking shit here, or is this just like, as in just like a tactic just to say, yeah, fuck off. You can't touch me. You can't oust me. Because the owners can vote him out if 24 of the 32 owners do vote him out.
Mm.
Is this just a ploy? Is there nothing there? Or can he actually blow up all these owners?
So I think what he needs to do is get on the phone, maybe on the Instagram, might be the way to do it, and contact Colin Kaepernick's team.
Colin Kaepernick's team.
Contact Colin Kaepernick's team because they got Colin Kaepernick a mozza and a massive payout and a crazy, crazy like situation that happened with Colin Kaepernick. Obviously, we all know about it. But, you know, the NFL needed to then keep that hush-hush and quiet because they didn't want anyone to know about the stuff. It was like all these NDAs signed, but he got a massive, crazy payout like in the hundreds of millions. So I think if Dan Snyder has any shot at convincing anyone, he needs to contact human rights advocate and player rights advocate and now future team owner rights advocate Colin Kaepernick. And
Of Commander fans went Commander. Fuck, I hate saying their name. Commanders fans.
Say it again.
Commanders, Redskins, football team, same. They want him out because obviously with that stadium, like it's probably the worst stadium in the comp when it comes to like facilities, seating, climate, all that, and also just his decisions to purchase free agency. Like they're the worst team over the years to like buy all these old free agent players on big wages, taking up cap room, and they haven't won a. When was the last time they won a playoff game?
Oh, fuck knows.
It's definitely longer than Dallas. I know Dallas.
He's a bad owner and a bad dude, but he's a owner of one of the best sports businesses in the world by virtue of TV deal, size of market. That
to Evan's point, he's not grown the NFL pie in any meaningful way. Yeah. And FedEx, once 90,000 capacity, now reduced to 66,000. It is falling apart at the seams. Hence why NFL owners would probably be willing to forgive him if he could somehow secure a new stadium. But, you know, that ain't going to happen with all these allegations. And look, to close this out, my prediction. If you watch the Thursday night game a few weeks ago, Gazelle and Basil sitting in the box there, if you look at their lips, you can see, you can just see Gazelle saying, please buy the Reds, the Commanders.
No, that's not what was happening. What was happening was Goodell was trying to explain the schedule because the Amazon stock dropped again for a second consecutive week on a motherfucking Friday.
I'm sure that was mentioned
on
too.
Thursday.
I'm being serious. I think Bezos buys the Commanders.
You reckon? He did buy the Washington Post, didn't
that's
he?
That's exactly right.
So
he did buy the Post.
He's interested in buying Washington-related assets.
Underperforming Washington assets. irrelevant things in the modern era.
Yeah.
Commanders follow newspapers.
This is going to be a protracted process, but I think one day, whether it's next week, next year, and then within the next couple of years, Bezos owns the Commanders.
Why doesn't he just own the league?
Clip this.
Okay.
He can afford the league. Why would he just want to buy the Washington?
And he can't buy the league.
Can't buy the league. Each team's worth at least, what, $3 million, $4
million? Yeah. Billion. What's he worth?
Billion, sorry. Yeah.
What's he worth?
I don't know. Yeah, but worth is there's net worth.
Half
and then
of what
cash.
He used to be.
Well, that's true.
To sell a bit of stock.
That's true. That's true.
John, right. You got it down, mate?
I'm going to bring it home, and I'm going to talk about receipts. You knew this was coming.
Of course.
Of course it was coming. I got to talk about
before
receipts.
You talk about it, though, how long has that Jets jumper been in the back of the closet for?
This year, so I'm wearing a Jets hoodie today, and I have to say, it's been quite some time since I've been proud enough to wear this
thing.
Does
it have like that mothball smell? It smells from here.
Right now, it smells like success, Matthew. Success. It
smells like
sweat.
A winning record.
Yeah. Winning record, yes. Yeah, smells like 4-2.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it smells like napalm in the morning. Guys, I got to talk about receipts. And the reason I got to talk about receipts is because look at the Jets. Now, I don't want to talk about or harp on about, you know, what we've done in the last couple of weeks and how we've turned this thing around. But more just make a point, and I guess, you know, who am I to remind some of these GMs out there to give their coaches time? But give your coaches time. After one season, everyone was drawing criticism on Robert Saleh because it was such a bad season. Our defense was horrible. It takes time to build a culture. And I think it's so unfortunate when you see these coaches. Steve Wilks is a really good example, right? One and done in Arizona because another pretty fucking butterfly flies past, you know, the GM's face there, and now it's Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. You gave him one season with a quarterback who's no longer in the league. You gave him one season, and then it was like, but you're one and done now. Now, Hackett doesn't count, I will say. Asterisk.
Well,
Hackett
they're a different team as well. Like, they have a veteran quarterback, which
exactly.
None of those other guys have had.
Exactly. But when you're trying to rebuild, you can't throw these coaches out like that. And I see that happen far too often in the league. And I see fans commanding for the head of these people. Like, I'm on a lot of Jets forums, and it's so crazy. You know, last year, even up to like week one when we lost to Baltimore, it was like, when are we going to fire the defensive coordinator? When are we going to fire the OC? When are we going to fire the coach? When are we going to fire the GM? And now it's all like, oh my God, we're going to make the playoffs this year. How good are we? This and that. And it's like, it takes more than one season to build a fucking culture. And so I guess for me, now bringing this back to receipts, it's crazy, you know. Look at what's happened to the Jets in the last couple of weeks. And I think Saleh said it. He said, sometime, and I can't tell you exactly when, but we're building something here. This team's going to flip. And when it flips, it's going to be...
It has flipped.
It has flipped. It's going to be amazing, you know. And it's flipped.
The margins, like the most margins in the league are one-score games. Like they have absolutely... just boat race their opponents the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's all three phases of football. It's offense, it's defense, it's special teams. Everyone coming together to do what they need to do. And if you asked a Jets fan week one what they thought about the team, all three of those were horrible and shit. And it was like, why is Flacco throwing 54 times a game or whatever it was? Yeah, but you know, they took them receipts, baby. And they got them receipts on the wall. And now they're cashing out, motherfuckers. All right, let's get into... our two-minute drill. Let's get into our scores, and then two of us are going to have to plead in a two-minute drill to work out who's taking the shot.
Have you already narrowed it down to two? Yeah. Pretty obvious, mate.
Well, okay. I think it is pretty obvious. Matt, take us from the top.
Let's go.
the Amazon stock-dropping performance that was once again.
Carson Wentz is now 7-0 on Thursday nights.
Wow.
Which is literally the most interesting thing that happened.
Someone tell his wife.
Another prime video flop.
The best play of the game was the last defensive play by the Commanders.
Oh, the Mooney.
Yeah.
On the goal line. Literally on the goal line. Yeah.
The whole game sucked. But the NFL, soap opera, came down to the last play. No matter how bad it was, it came down to the last play. And that 30 seconds was entertaining. The rest wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bad game. I'm so glad. I predicted it was going to go to overtime. I'm really glad that it didn't go to overtime.
Yeah.
That was, once again, just another really shocking game to watch on a Thursday. And, it was really funny because at the same time I was watching the Rangers game, which had a pretty similar scoreline for the most part. The Rangers game was 7-3.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was, for the most part, what that game looked like. So when a hockey game has a scoreline similar to an NFL game, something's gone wrong, dramatically wrong. But what do we pick, Matt? Let's not talk about this shit fight anymore.
There's not much to report here, so let's just go through the predictions. So Evan called the Commanders. Oh, I should go through the score first. The Commanders won 12 points to 7. Evan and Mitch on the money, both predicting a 20-17 scoreline. John and I.
Outstanding.
John specifically was a 13-13 overtime game in which the Bears will win with a field goal to win 16-13. Almost happened. Kind of.
27-20 for you, Matt. Wow.
27-20. That's 27-20.
27-20
who?
To the Bears.
How did you guys think that there was going to be anyone scoring that many points in this game?
For me, the reason I thought was because they scored a fuck ton of points against the Vikings last week. They converted all their red zone trips. They converted none this week. It's just like hot and cold. So, yeah, I'll eat my hat.
Yeah, I was going with Carson Wentz and Fields. I was going to take a defensive touchdown each, basically. These two teams are decent defenses.
Yeah.
But, yeah, true. Yeah, boring.
True. Okay, so...
The next game... Far more interesting, we had Giants Danny Dimes, head coach Brian Daboll, have their sights set atop of the table. The G-men yet again found themselves in a double-digit deficit against a revered opponent, arguably.
The Chokers.
The Chokers, that's right. Just clutch plays. A Jordan Love intercept allowed Saquon to punch it in to take the lead very late in the fourth quarter. I would say that the Ravens were... saved by a defensive pass interference call on Peters, and that final play to how do you say his name? Thibodeau. That strip sack stop, whatever you want to call it, clutch, absolute ripper.
Well,
I say Jordan Love. I meant Julian Love.
Julian.
I was going to say Jordan Love. Packers.
No, he's not going from quarterback to a defensive player. Well, he
may as well try it because he's a really bad quarterback. But,
so Giants win 24-20.
Yeah, I think we've talked about like how tough the Giants are and how Baltimore have a current pattern of blowing huge leads. That's the story of the game. Like,
true.
But what Baltimore should have won. And
who did we predict?
What did you predict? Because I know you guys all got this wrong.
Yeah, we all pick Ravens except you, John.
Yes, except me.
I was going to build it up, but yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, we all picked Ravens except for John. And crazy close to getting the score right. So again, Giants won 24-20. John predicted 24-23.
And I did say there'd be a game-winning drive in there. I said it would be a fourth consecutive game-winning drive.
We'll have to clip.
From Danny Dimes.
That's got to get me some form of.
Evan and I said Ravens would win 31-17. Mitch thought 24-17. Well, yeah, come on. You would think there'd be more points in this.
I did.
But yeah. Yep. Well done, John. Well done. Nice call.
All right, next game.
Well, the much-anticipated Bills-Chiefs AFC heavyweight showdown. Delivered yet a thriller? It's good.
Yeah, it was good.
Tony Romo predicted the exact score.
Oh, he did.
Go.
He was like, I think it's going to be a
24-20. This is a 24-20 game, or a 30.
Or a 30 or someone. Yeah, exactly.
It's a great game.
It was a great game.
It was a great game. Very.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was, and you know, I thought Mahomes was going to bring that one home. By the way,
well,
I
mean, with a minute 20 with two timeouts, like I said to you guys in the chat, I'm like, I think they've left him too much time. Yeah. I couldn't believe, even like it was a great defensive play from the Bills to get that pick. Play.
Yeah, I agree.
What was our predictions, Matt?
Well, I think
we all had I think we all had this higher scoring than what
we
ended up.
All had it higher. We did. We all had it higher scoring.
I'm not trusting the coin again this week. This coin fucked me.
You need to flip a different coin. Need one with Charles's head on it. Mitch called it KC 31-28. I said KC 34-24. John 38-23. KC. Evan, the dissenting view. Bills 28-24.
Oh, very close.
Got the margin.
Very
nailed
close.
It.
Very good. Very
absolutely good. Nailed it.
Very interesting. All right. Next game.
Next game.
Sunday night.
Sunday night. The Philadelphia Eagles are 6-0.
Well, I waited.
Cooper rushed his throws, Evan.
Well, in the first down, I wanted to have a quick chat about this. I did say last week Cooper Rush will choke in prime time, and man, did he choke, all right. Like, okay, the first pick, unfortunate with the deflection, but yeah.
Bad decisions, yeah.
I think this is more, you guys probably not going to agree, I think this is more of a Dallas loss than a Philly win. Like, when you give a team three picks, give a fourth down your own 40, you've given them all the points in the world. Philly scored 20 points off our turnovers, so it's unfortunate. Give Philly the kudos. They deserved it. They did what they had to do. But at the end of the day, I think, yeah, deserved it 6-0.
You're right. They scored 20 points in the first half, and through their first six games, Philly are averaging 21 points in the first half. Anyone want to guess how many points in the second?
Yeah, it's about four, I reckon.
5.8.
Mm. Yeah, they're
5.8.
Yeah, they have similar problems to Baltimore, but their leads have been bigger, and they haven't played as strong a schedule, I think.
Mm. Like, if you look at Philly's next games, I don't think they lose one until probably week 10. They can easily go 9-0, 10-0.
Yeah.
Who have they got next?
Next, they have a bye this week coming up.
They're the best team in the NFC at the moment, but there's a minimum of two AFC teams that are well better than them.
Mm.
Philly's next game is against the Steelers, and then they got the Texans.
Yeah, they'll be winning both of those.
Wow. Well, they did survive against Dallas. They won 26 points.
A good sign for Dallas, but man, their adjustments and their comeback. Like, they could have easily turned up and lost this 41-3.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in terms of what we picked, fellas, Mitch, you picked the Eagles correctly, 17-13. I picked the Eagles 17-10. Evan, Eagles as well. You went against the boys. Your win-win situation, 23-7.
And I did turn up, John. Thank you very much.
You did.
You almost got the score right if you said Eagles. You said Dallas 23-17.
I know.
Kind of close.
I know. It is what it is. I'll take it. I thought Dallas were going to win this game, and they let me down. Thank you, Stephen Jones.
Yeah, well.
It's not Jerry's fault.
To wrap this up, fellas, it was deja vu for the lads in white, orange, and blue. The guy getting paid $245 million a year lost to a one-legged kicker. 19-16 Los Angeles Chargers over the dreadful Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos.
What the hell?
Well, I mean, the Broncos got out to a fast start. I mean, the first, whatever it was, like quarter and a half of that game, I was like, oh my God, this is a different Broncos team. And then it was something like in the second quarter, they only put up 25 yards. And I was like, okay, this is the Broncos that we expect.
Yep. Yeah.
Surprised that it was closer than what all of us
it's
predicted.
Just Chargers, man. Like, you could give the Chargers the 85 Bears defense and the 08 Patriots offense, and they'd still have every game within a field goal. Like, it's just the Chargers. It is just the Chargers.
How about coaching? Justin Herbert throwing 57 times, the most ever, without scoring a touchdown in a win?
Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah. Well, that's bad. That's bad. Well, you know.
Keep
that
going
point.
Back to the well when you got Brandon Staley. No point leaning on
this
Austin Eckler.
This is a
Eckler,
win-win for you,
Austin Eckler, who scored the Chargers' only touchdown early in the second quarter.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's just throw it another 50 times, please.
True.
Well,
true,
in terms of our picks, fellas, we'll end up being a very low-scoring game. We had Evan picking correctly LA Chargers 35-10. John predicted a blowout of 42-6 to LA Chargers.
Yeah, I fucked that one up.
Mitch, 34-14 Chargers. I initially said Chargers by 3, which would have maybe correct, but I changed it last minute, peer pressure. Denver, I said Denver.
Ooh, costly.
31-28. Yeah. Costly indeed. Fellas, where does this leave us with the scores for this week? So we wrap up week 6. Evan tops the week 6, 3 from 5. Mitch, 2 from 5. And John, is that correct?
4 for 5,
no,
Evan.
No.
Is that
four.
Correct?
That doesn't include today.
Oh, I've got an update.
4 from 5.
Technical.
Oh, my God. You've got one
technical.
Fucking job, man. He's definitely taking a shot now.
How many games
Look,
did we get,
I was just trying to fucking cheat you guys out of the points. Okay. Sorry, Evan. You were 4 from...
There it is.
That's a one. You always find it. Okay. Sorry, Evan. 4 from 5. Mitch, 3 from 5. John, 2 from 5. And... Mr. Consistent, 1 from 5. From Matty.
Okay, so surely.
Season total leaves Evan topping the table with 7, John 6, Mitch 5, Matt 2.
Okay, well,
obviously. Okay, so now we start the 2 minute drill and we get a minute each to plead our case.
John, would you like to start?
I'll start. Giants. It's that simple. That one was something that you all got wrong, and I knew it was going to be the Giants. And yes, I had some pretty stupid score lines thrown in there too, but I also got two right, and Matt only got one right. So by way of, and not to mention, the one extra that I got right over Matt was not a gimme. It was the Giants. That took some Nostradamus shit.
That's a good argument. Now, Matt, how can you counter with your one
what
out of
one
five?
Did you get right?
The one I got right was the Philadelphia game.
Okay. See, they haven't lost all year. That's fairly easy to get.
I don't know about that. John bet against them.
Yeah.
But, look, the only thing I can really lean on here, fellas, for being totally honest, is just the margin for the game today.
Oh, stop with the margin.
Come on. Stop you guys had 30-40 margins. I got within six.
That's the shot, Matt.
That's the sound of the shot glass tapping
the mic. How much was your differential better than John's this week?
Okay. In total.
Good question. So mine was six, John's was 39, so 33. Oh, wait, so for that game? Or
no, overall.
I haven't got it for the week. I've got cumulative.
Okay. Yeah, whatever.
Which is John's 135, I'm 106.
Yeah.
There we go.
So I still think that I don't deserve the shot this week.
Mitch, who do you reckon? We decide.
If you get one from five, like, that's drinking time.
Matt, all right, I'm sorry, it's back-to-back weeks, all right, son.
Let's
I don't mind so much because at least it's not tequila. What have we got here this week?
Today we've got fantastic selection.
Did a lovely job last week of doing
this. Of Jack Daniels. We've got it from my collection that sits in my office. It's a single barrel select. It is smooth. It is nice. It is smoky.
Mm.
It's kind of like a good Baba Ganoush from Greenacre. And, with a little bit of...
just sort of mixed in.
Yeah.
Drinkable like compared to that tequila.
Next week I'm going to get some really cheap vodka.
He
filled it up straight away. He's ready.
He didn't go to heaven, but it went the other way. It went down.
Three,
down,
two,
down,
one.
Down. Soup. As Mitch would say, enjoy your Tuesday night.
Yeah. I'd say that's more enjoyable than last week.
Is it?
I hit you afterwards. It's nice.
It's strong, hey? Lynchburg, Tennessee. Get us there.
Yes, yes. Well,
maybe we'll see, on the way to Knoxville, we'll see the goalposts from the Tennessee Bama.
Mind we say not sponsored by Jack Daniels.
I did see that. And did you see it was like one of the people who like donates money is like, well, it happens every year. It's like, how much is that going to cost? Doesn't matter.
Stealing the goalposts and taking him downtown.
See ya.
Matt, are you all right? Do you want to describe how that feels right now?
I can feel his body temperature's risen about 3 degrees.
So is his erection.
How does the erection reach 3 degrees?
What's next?
I mean, risen. All right. Let's get into the game previews. Let's run through these. So we've got five big games to preview this week. Let's just start really quickly with the Saints and Arizona. Hopefully the Amazon stock stabilizes itself after another drop, by the way, if anyone's watching at home. This is not me giving you financial advice, but I would like to say that at 9:30 a.m. on Friday, again, knowing that the game started about 11:30 Sydney time on a Friday, it was 114, and by 4 p.m. it was 106. It was a 7% drop. It recovered again last week midweek, and then it shit itself again during that game.
So let's convince see. It's causation
and
now.
Wall Street shut then.
Yeah.
Wall Street is shut at that time.
Yeah, well, it closed at 106 then.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Wow.
Pretty crazy. Let's talk about this. Saints, Arizona. What have you fellas got? I think it's going to be a low-scoring game myself.
I'm going to go straight off the bat. I'm going to go Arizona wins.
Mm.
Ooh.
Really?
I'm going to go 16-10.
16-10. Very
Look, after Mitch made such a convincing argument about how much Kyler Murray stinks, he convinced me I'm going Saints 21-17.
Yeah, he certainly stinks at the moment. And New Orleans, Dennis Allen will have a genuine defensive surprise for Kyler. I'm going to go the Saints as well on the road. 24-17.
I'm going 17-13. Saints, Andy Dalton, rushing touchdown. On a read action to Taysom Hill, just to really confuse everyone. So 17-13.
Taysom's in, he gets the ball.
No, no, no. Read it. That's the point. Read option.
Tight end blockers out of the way.
Read option. All right. So that's that game. Yeah. I think it's pretty clear cut. I don't think it's going to be an amazing game. I don't think any of us are predicting that. So let's move on to something just slightly more exciting. And let's talk about the resurgent Colts versus the Tennessee Titans. Who we got this week for that one, fellas?
This early window is not great, is it?
it's not amazing. Not this week.
Yeah. Would have gone Cleveland-Baltimore if Cleveland didn't have a second-string quarterback to do the prediction from. But Tennessee, I don't know. I like what I saw from Indy last week, and I'm going to back him to continue the momentum.
Is JT back yet, or is he still out?
I think he's still out.
I'm sure he was out last week. I'll go Indy 27 and Tennessee 24. So I think Indy win. Very close game this, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to go very similar. I'm going to go Indy win 24-21.
Interesting. I'm going to call an extremely boring game, and I'm going to go Tennessee 16 and Indianapolis 12.
Ooh, that is boring.
Four field goals?
Yeah, four field goals. Or 10 points in safety. We'll see.
Were Titans on a bye this week?
Yeah, they were, yeah.
Yeah.
Playing at home on a bye, I'm going Titans, 19-17.
19-17, hey?
Yep.
Yeah, really close game.
Hey, Mitch, you're the keeper of all the fantastic knowledge. Who won the Super Bowl in 19-17? Well, the NFC Championship. There was no Super Bowl.
I don't go back that far. Yeah.
You seem to know everything else.
Yeah. I'll tell you now.
I know that the Patriots lost a Super Bowl 2017.
Wow. Yeah.
There both in terms
was,
of...
The NFL was founded in 1920.
Fuck. All right. Well, yeah. Then no one. Okay.
2017 to the Giants, I mean, not the actual year.
Yeah.
They may have lost in that year as well.
All right. Let's move on and let's talk about... Now, this should be a good game. Chiefs, San Fran.
Super Bowl rematch.
Super Bowl rematch. Well, albeit from a couple of years ago, but Garoppolo's ago, back.
Yeah. It's the same. Very similar teams.
Same San
coaches,
Fran,
same quarterbacks, yeah.
San Fran are just too banked up on defense.
You reckon?
KC,
but what? What's the margin?
Kansas City 31.
Yep, go ahead.
31. San Fran 19.
Yeah, sort of similar. I'm going KC 29-24.
29? That's an interesting scoreline.
Yeah. Mm. Andy Reid for two.
That's two touchdowns and five field goals.
Yeah.
Garoppolo likes his safeties.
They're not going to be kicking five field goals, I don't think, ever. I reckon they'll go Mahomes' whole career without kicking five field goals in a game.
Probably.
KC wins due to San Fran's injuries, as you predict. This could be the Super Bowl, though. I'm calling.
What?
I reckon this, if I had to pick, this would be the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
You score for us, Mitch?
Yeah. KC win this time 28-20.
I'm going to go KC 23, and I'm going to go San Fran 11.
What the fuck?
So that was bold, the Super Bowl prediction. I'm so scarred. But at this point last year, I had a Rams versus Chiefs Super Bowl. And if the Chiefs Joe quarterback Burrow didn't play the only bad 30 minutes of his whole career, would have been huge.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, San Fran 11.
Next game, is it Tua time or is it Pickett time?
Pickett's in...
Tua's back,
but yeah, Pickett's in concussion protocol, so I think it's...
The Trubisky time.
Mitchell Trubisky back again.
Mitchell David
Trubisky. You know what? I think that I'd be curious to see how much danger they put Tua in this game. I don't think they're going to really allow him to get hit, so I can't see a lot of really big, long plays, big seven-step drops. I can't see him, you know, scrambling. I can't see him standing up in the pocket. I think it's going to be quick release stuff. So I don't think it's going to be a whole lot of points, although it will be a whole lot of yards. So I'm going Miami 23 and the Steelers 9, because I just don't think that, you know, Trubisky, yeah, he came on with couple clutch drives, but I don't think he's going to play a whole game that well.
no game involving Pittsburgh will be high scoring on their end.
Outside of their 2018 village of the...
Well, when they had other players to what they currently have. But no, they... Yeah, 20 against Tampa was more than enough. Miami wins. They're way too talented for Pittsburgh. I'm with John. I'll go 27-13.
I'm going to go Miami 20 and Pittsburgh 17.
Wow, that's close.
Yeah, closer than I would expect.
Miami 20, Steelers 14. Two TDs.
Yeah, probably not the most exciting Sunday night football of the year, I think.
Nope.
Although Monday night.
Although Monday night.
A Justin Fields versus Bailey Zappi vehicle.
Undefeated Bailey Zappi.
Yes. The new undefeated as backup
a
QB.
As a
yes. Quarterback controversy as well, right? Because apparently there's some disruption with Mac Jones. So let's get into this. I might just kick this off really quickly. This is an easy one for me. I'm going to go Patriots 35, Bears 3.
Whoa!
That Jesus. Pats defense is still freaking amazing.
Yeah, and there's an enormous coaching disparity here. There's no chance New England lose this game at home.
No.
And I think they'll boat race them too. I'm going, I'll go 31-7.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
Pats 23-10, not as huge a scoreline. Well, I'm still comfortable win. Bears will not be in this.
I'm predicting some defensive touchdowns, and I think it's quite possible in this game. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I'm going to go 24-7 Pats.
Yeah.
What was that? You said Bears, yeah?
Okay. 24-7 Pats.
No, he said Bears.
Pats. Okay. Pats. Yep. Cool.
Bears.
Cool.
Sure, mate.
All right, cool. Excellent. Well, we've got our game previews done. I suppose let's find out next week who's going to have to take the shot. I'll come up with something new for us to drink.
We've all picked the same in...
This is a fairly...
I think it's the first game.
There's an Indy versus Titans 50-50 split, yeah.
Well, oh, really wow. This ended up being very... Yeah. Well,
and the first game, I'm the only one with the
Arizona.
Cards.
Yeah.
Ooh, so you're in massive trouble.
If Arizona win...
Then I'm clear.
That's immunity. That's immunity for you, Ev.
Why didn't I get immunity for the Giants?
You got away with the shot, John.
I still have to plead my case. Fuck you. All right, let's talk about... Sorry, I can't say it without laughing this week. Let's talk about Mitch's multi. Who screwed you this week, Mitch?
Tampa minus 9.5.
Every week. No, it was Tampa. They never, ever look like, to be honest, winning at all, let alone covering. The Rams did the business. But even the Chargers, they weren't overly impressive. An ugly result this week for Mitch's multi. Brings the, 1-4? So,
yep.
No good. This week, as we saw from our picks, a lot of games where there's pretty consensus favourites, New England, Miami, Chargers, Raiders, Dallas, Bengals, Tampa, Baltimore, all $1.33 or under. I am going to go with it's season... desperation time nearly for Green Bay. They're so far behind Minnesota and they have to hose Washington.
Line or head-to-head here?
Line here, -5 for the Pack on the road. Potential out of Carson Wentz, finger.
He is out.
Yeah.
Surgery, 6 weeks.
Yeah. Out. Green Bay, desperation mode here, have to win. Also, I'm going to go Vegas giving away 7. So the double, just 2 legs, but both against the line. Vegas -7 at home to Houston, albeit both off the bye. Just Vegas have to win this game.
They have to win, absolutely.
Yeah, and there's teams that have won more games than Vegas that Vegas have played better than.
Mm.
But yeah, they've only won 1 game and they have to win this. And Houston are poor.
Just 2 legs. Is there a third?
No, there's no
third. There's no third?
So what are the 2 legs?
Two legs against the line.
So what's the legs?
$1.90 by $1.90 there. So whatever that multiplies out to, Matthew.
No, what are the games again?
They are Green Bay -5 at Washington and Vegas at home to Houston -7.
Okay, so I'll tell you now. And Houston. Because I'm going to put my money on in $5 at least every week, so we'll see if we can get some money.
$3.61 it is. So If we get that up, we can pay for
$358 for the sports bet.
2 weeks of losses.
Ooh. Yeah, interesting. Okay, we're looking for some payback this week.
Cheeky $10.
Yeah, just two. Very hard to predict in the league at the moment, but two desperate teams that are far more talented than their opponents have to win this week. Have to win.
Yeah, I mean, then you're onto something. All right, let's get into our fantasy SKs and SKs. And hopefully by now you know what SK stands for. I don't think I need to spell it out.
Let's not bleep it.
If you're an Aussie, you know it stands for, let's not bleep what? Do you want to say it, Evan?
Shit cunt.
Hello, Evan. We just got censored. We're cancelled.
Yes, we just got cancelled.
We're cancelled in our first 5 minutes of the first episode.
No,
let's
we won't.
Keep going.
We'll get Elon Musk to buy Spotify and podcast, then we'll be sweet. We'll be back excellent. On even if we get censured.
Excellent.
Bezos.
Well, let's start with our good SKs. Our good SKs, our sick Ks. I'm going to throw one straight out there. I wanted to mention this one last week, but I didn't. And I should have, because it's Breece Hall. I mean, I'm a bit of a homer as a Jets fan at the moment, but... Breece Hall, 2 weeks worth of back-to-back amazing performance. You know, obviously I'm a close watcher of the Jets, so that I can see that the carries are on the ground attending his way from Michael Carter. So, yeah, Breece Hall is my one-up this week.
Question, so who were you making room for in your lineup when you dropped Breece Hall like 3 weeks ago?
So he wasn't getting his share of the carries yet, and someone else in our fantasy league dropped Ezekiel Elliott. So I dropped Breece Hall so I could pick up Ezekiel Elliott. It was a stupid move, clearly.
The worst part, yeah.
Well, he was splitting all like he was getting 40% of the carries versus 60% for Michael Carter. But in the last couple of weeks, it's flipped his way. And so I think that if he's available on waivers, take him now. Breece Hall is going to be your starter, your pivot running back for the rest of the season.
Good one. My good SK. Off the back of what you said around Green Bay must win, Randall Cobb injured, Alan Lazard, he has to ball out in this game. Rodgers does not trust his rookies one iota. Not at all. So he is a must start for me.
Yeah, Rodgers will be massive this week too.
My must start is Derek Carr. Mm. He has the Houston D, and plus that ending against KC, I think he'll want
to
get that back.
Yeah,
good idea. Mitch, you got someone you reckon has to start this week?
Yeah, I mean, after we saw the debacle of 57 throws today and the Seahawks defense being the opponent next week against the run, surely go back to Austin Ekeler.
Oh, please. 100%. Mm. Please. No doubt.
And he's flying this year as well, absolutely flying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. Let's talk about our bad SKs, our shit Ks. I'm going to start us again with DeAndre Hopkins. It's going to be very tempting for you out there to pick him up off waiver wire because it's his first week back. He likely wasn't drafted. Yes, I have picked him up and put him in my league, but I'm not going to start him yet. That's more of like a cover for later. So I think that if you can pick him up and put him on your side and park him, it's probably not a bad idea. But do not start him because I still don't know if we can trust Kyler Murray. And he's got to work his way back into the squad. His talent's undeniable. It's going to be very tempting, but he might do a Michael Thomas. Mm. Come back, have one good game, and then kind of, you know, injure himself, because this is what happens when you sit on the sidelines for such a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
Mine is very, very similar to yours, and it's one of my boys, and that's Dak Prescott. There's rumors he's coming back, or he's expected to train fully on Wednesday and Thursday. He's questionable to return, but I just think Dallas with Detroit and the Bears back-to-back. Sure. Like, I wouldn't want Dak to come back. Like, yeah, Cooper Rush played one game, but who would have thought Cooper Rush would give you 5 wins and 1 loss?
Oh, he did his job as a backup.
He did it. More
than his job. It was amazing.
I could easily be sitting here at, 1-6?
Sign that beast.
1-5. So I think probably like John did with Hopkins, pick maybe Dak up, but not start him per se yet.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go... I'm on Ra St. Brown. Sit him. I think he was injured, but they had the week off. Assuming he is healthy, they're up against the Dallas defense. So I'd say he's my shit SK. I got another one too, though. And this is not because he's bad. It's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Because, that San Fran defensive front is banged up, but that secondary now is also very banged up. And you can see Mahomes just airing this one out all day, and you're just not going to see very many touches.
Yeah, at a similar angle, my shit cunt this week is the it's the happening. Best tight end in football, it. Travis Kelce, for that reason. I think San Fran are a elite defense, albeit banged up. They'll try and control the ball a lot here to keep it out of Mahomes' hands. And I agree, Matt. I think Kansas City go one of two ways here. They go very deep or lean on Edwards-Helaire. So to me, I think Kelce, a lot of blocking, not a lot of involvement here. Mm. I can see him having 6 receptions for 50 yards. Something like that. So,
and five touchdowns.
They're not going to hose Frisco. They're too good. But yeah, like I mean, I love going big here and like a big name player. He's the best tight end in the league. But yeah, down week for him here. I still think KC win though.
That's a huge prediction.
Yeah. Mm.
That nice. Is. Like that is.
There's no Nick Chubb from last week.
The Chubber, 8 points.
Nice one, good one.
Mitch's Moldy went down, though. That's my say. No good. One day we'll get them both right.
Yes. Yeah, one day. All right, we're going to bring it home now. We're into what we call garbage time. It's the end of the episode. We got one more thing to talk about today. And Evan likes to bring us something for us to ponder this week. So, Evan.
Going on what I said last week, maybe it dragged out too long, so I made it a bit easier. I told John this heads up so he has a bit of an advantage. Mitch wanted to know straight after, and I think he's going to be annoyed. So the question is...
Annoyed?
How much of a fuckwit is Mitch?
Which Super Bowl loss was more disappointing, the Patriots in 07 or the Falcons in 17?
This is one of those things, like do you consider it as a what's a worse loss, a collapse in a game or... A season.
That's the question. Who do you think had the biggest disappointment loss in the game?
I'm going to have to go with the Patriots loss.
Yeah, they're the best team in our lifetime that I've ever seen.
See, I would go the other way. Like, yeah, the Patriots had a perfect season, but the Falcons haven't won a Super Bowl. The one quarter away, they had a 25-point
lead. Who's the oldest person in this room?
You.
I was born Mitchell. 85, but I was zero in the 85 Bears were there. I think... There's a genuine argument that the 07 Patriots are the best team of the last 30 years, yet there's been 30 Super Bowl champions and they're not one of them.
Mm. Yeah.
So that for me is more disappointing. But yeah, just the magnitude of that collapse. Astronomical, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, astronomical. For me, I think it's the collapse because they were up 28-3, right?
Yeah.
28-3. No one at that point.
They were like a 99.68% win probability. It was,
And the Patriots 07 never would have been that even at the start of the game. Yeah.
Yeah, no. And I think that Patriots 07 game, like, it was a very much a back and forward game. It wasn't high scoring. There was no element of blowout by either team. Fantastic last drive by the Giants to win it all. If you look at it as a season, I agree. You got to say that's
won
the
like
most.
11, that's 11 games by 10 or more.
Yeah, like season. that's the most disappointing end to a season. But if we're just talking Super Bowl wins in isolation, you've got to say that the Atlanta meltdown was the just most
choke.
Oh, it was the choke of the century. It was the worst thing that
was
that
a two.
I just think, but if you flip. If you flip the field, the 3-point margin, and the Patriots win, they're the best team of all time.
Yeah,
and they're not even a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah,
like the what ifs of football.
The field goal margin the other way, they're the best team ever. Like 19-0, so many huge wins, 50 touchdown season for Brady.
Randy Moss. So to devil's advocate. Everyone kind of knows that the Patriots were the absolutely the best team, and fuck, because like,
they beat the.
Lucky,
they also
right?
gave and it so, to the Giants a couple of weeks beforehand as well in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think there's a recognition that they were arguably one of the best teams ever.
Yeah,
whereas the Falcons are just like a meme. They're a good, that's their legacy off the back
forever.
Of the Super Bowl. They're a fucking meme.
Yeah, I watched.
So
I remember watching that Super
maybe,
Bowl with a good mate.
Maybe
that's hard.
And he said,
"Imagine being a meme."
It's a quote from my good mate Dave. Shout out there if you're
Dave-o.
Listening. That he watched he watched his Super Bowl with me, and he said that this will be a cross around the neck that Atlanta wear forever, and it is. I don't think I remember hearing something on Red Zone last year that they've only been above 500 for 1 week since that game.
Far out.
It is a game that will scar your franchise. Wow,
above 500.
Above 500. So they're 500 right now. So they have an opportunity to march into Cincinnati
for the first time since 2017.
Go in and say Joe
been
Burrow
500 for one game. Like their records,
that's shocking.
Been awful. Like the back end of the Matt Ryan,
and even the chokes. In the COVID year 2020, they had like 4 blown leads in the fourth quarter of double digits.
Yeah, Good question.
Great question.
Yeah. It's
still sticking with
Wait more. Join us next week for some more questions.
Yeah. Classic debate.
That's the whole reason people join is for garbage time with Evan.
They skip the episode.
Maybe you can just go, who, I reckon the debate's settled, but who'd win a game out of the 07 Patriots? 07 Patriots. The 16 Patriots. Who beat the Falcons?
Yeah, 07 Patriots.
I think if you ask.
I think Randy Moss scores three touchdowns alone.
I think if you put the 07 Patriots against any other team in NFL history, you'd probably say that they'd win.
Yeah. They're the best team I've ever seen, but they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Would Aaron Hernandez have played?
No, he wasn't in that. He was drafted
Was he?
Yeah,
he was still drive wise at 15.
He would have been at Georgia then. Before being led down the right path by Urban Meyer. sorry, Florida, not Georgia.
That's right.
And Tim Tebow.
Tebow
was on that team. Yeah.
Tim was better behaved than Urban and Aaron.
Just slightly. Didn't
2010
Tebow,
he joined 2010.
2010, yes. So 2009.
I have a question, and this is not going to wait till next week. Is Tim Tebow still a virgin?
No, he's way too good looking to be a virgin.
Sure. No, but he was like saving his virginity for marriage, right?
Is he married?
So, I don't know. I'm asking the question. Does anyone know?
I've got a better question, though.
What's that?
Were the Mets eliminated in the wild card series this year because Tim Tebow was no longer on the roster?
You're talking to a Mets fan now, and I
Tim Tebow married Demi Lee Tebow, 2020.
Virgin. Yeah, he is. Still.
So the cherry was popped.
So he popped his cherry
circa 2020.
Well, unless he's a circa.
Oh, come on. Comes around here on the first down under potty.
Yeah,
comes full circle.
32 years old when he popped his cherry.
Wow!
Or when he lifted the cork out of the champagne bottle for the first time.
Fair play. She looks a rather attractive lady as well.
So. Very good. Nice work, Timmy. Doing T.
Well,
Timothy.
Yeah,
well done.
Former quarterback, former
tight end,
semi-professional.
Did he play for the Jets? How many games did he play for the Jets?
Whole season.
Oh. One of the
worst.
Of being a tight
end. Worst the moments well? Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the worst moments. Wow.
Where was he trying to be a tight end at?
Jacksonville.
The Urban Meyer connection.
Trevor Lawrence in preseason.
So he was in the Mets minor league system, and then he went back to Jacksonville when Urban was there.
Yeah. So he's obviously got a good friendship with a guy who is the antithesis of what he embodies and represents.
Is Demi Lee related to Urban Meyer?
Is that Urban Meyer's? Tell me that's Urban Meyer's like daughter or something.
Oh,
daughter-in-law.
Urban would have a few love children.
Urban would.
South African model and beauty queen. Okay.
You're the queen on the 17.
Her parents. Both of which. Either of which are not Urban Meyer. No.
No, okay.
No, but you don't know. Shall we be adopted out?
Has Urban ever been on a safari?
I think he's been on like a pub safari.
Yeah.
Like a pub crawl.
No, he was in. Late 1994, he was in South Africa.
Come on, Pete.
Was he really?
No. We'll get done for defamation here.
That's true, but it's Urban Meyer. I don't think there's more that we could do to Urban than he has not done to himself already.
Apologize to. Demi Lee's parents.
Oh, yes.
That aren't Urban.
That aren't Urban. Unequivocally, we can say
no apology to Urban, though.
No. Urban doesn't deserve an apology. Well, on that titillating finale, I think
Titties.
Yes. Well, you know, got to have an obsession in life. That's it for today's podcast. As always, leave us a comment. Leave us some 5-star ratings. Hit the subscribe button. Tune in every week. Stay around. Give us the statistics. We don't care. Yeah, whatever. But, you know, we need your statistics because then we can climb the ranks, and we're selfish about that because we want to get somewhere too.
We have to include Manscaped. Bomb Power 4.0, please.
Yeah, well, we're working on that. We're working on that sponsorship. But also, today's episode was not sponsored by Hawks Lager, although we did drink it and it was very nice. So on that note, fellas, I think we're done.
Peace.
See you next week.
Bye.